You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
The Daily Music Business Podcast.
What's up and welcome back to the Daily Music Business Podcast. I'm your host for today, Monica Strutt, and today we are talking all about how to stand out as a small emerging artist or band, especially if you're looking around on social media and there are so many other acts out there that are putting out amazing content and you feel like the market is super saturated. You're going to want to tune into this episode to get the answer to how you stand out in this market, in this time where everyone has a platform. Before we dive in, make sure that you hit that subscribe button. And I would love if you followed me on Instagram. I'm Monica Strutt and I'm also Monica Strutt everywhere online. So yeah, come give me a follow. Let's be friends. Come send me a DM and let me know that you found me through the Daily Music Business Podcast. This audio excerpt is from a free workshop that myself and Jaden Roy from Yeah That Agency and Destroy All Lines and band coach Steve Canatelli have been running fortnightly. It's free to attend or by donation, and you can sign up at monicastrutt.com/coachemall. Coachemall, CoachEmall. I don't know how long we're going to be doing these free workshops for, because we're just really doing it to give back to the scene during a time where our home city of Melbourne is in lockdown. And it's a great opportunity for musicians from all over the globe to connect. So if you've been enjoying this Coachemall series, then sign up for the workshop. And yeah, you can come check it out live, get your questions answered. Anyway, let's dive in. In Eyes, which is Rosie, says, so what makes a small band stand out now that everyone is creating such insane content?
Good songs. End of the day, like, that is always going to be the most important thing, you know? And like, if you don't have good songs, like, yeah, you can have like cool presentation and stuff as well, but like, you'll probably notice a dip and a point of the difference, you know, kind of plateaus in comparison. I always encourage bands to also, like, you know, collab with other people, you know, and you know, like, expand your songwriting, you know, like, there is absolutely, like, I feel like there's always been a really negative stigma, especially within like the heavy alternative community, about collaborations. Like, it's more like, oh, that's a pop music thing. And it's like, no, fuck that. Like, at the end of the day, right, like, you want to team up with people that have the best interest for your songs, you know? And like, if you want to work with people that can offer a different element to make that song even better, even if you have to sacrifice a royalty, why not? It's just a cool opportunity, you know? Yeah. Sorry, you go, Steve.
I was just going to say, Mon, is it okay if I reference you and The Last Martyr during this?
I think that's the best example ever, because like, they just have nothing but bangers.
Nothing but bangers, but also lining up your chickens so you're ready to go, right? If you look at the way Mon and The Last Martyr have come out, they have gotten, so they did the live performance coaching with me, which has made them, I believe, stand out on stage as a standout performance on any lineup. We really worked on honing something that was identifiable to The Last Martyr and making it line up with what they had recorded and the imagery that you see in their videos as well. So if you look at what Mon and The Last Martyr have done, they've gotten their recording done. That sounds cohesive. They've gotten their video clip done, which matches the sound of their recording. They've also gotten their live show done, which matches those two things as well, right? This is why you have been, it's not only because Mon's great at PR and great at putting her band where the band needs to be, but it's also because everything that Mon and The Last Martyr have been putting out is of substance, and it all leads into each other. It creates the brand that is The Last Martyr, that is identifiable on so many different levels and of a high standard. That is what I believe every band should be doing. You know, really making sure that everything lines up, that you've lined it all up before you've even released the first thing yet, and then also, have the PR to back it up. So yeah, that's why I wanted to use Last Martyr as an example.
Yeah. Can I just add really quickly? Sorry. Okay. You know, patience in your campaigns is going to be key as well. Like there are so many people that just want to put out this stuff yesterday, and like then they compensate on so many things that, and so many different moving parts that come with the release as well. And like the hindsight campaign that Martyr have done has been executed so well in so many different ways, because like, not only have you teed up with Steve as well, and like worked on the performance, like, you know, which is immediately going to help your music video performance, you know, and as well as recording as well, you know, depending on what comes first, or, you know, what kind of schedule that you have, you know, but then also like, you know, taking the visual aspect to another level. And, you know, I definitely love like what the band has done in terms of their presentation. I feel like, you know, like it's like this cool juxtaposition of like, you know, almost like Fear Factory presentation with nu metal, with like, you know, Spirit Box and, you know, volumes and stuff as well, you know, just to name on the top of my head. But like there's so many cool moving parts that have come together, and you've created like this really cool brand, you know, just surrounding that. And also like hindsight is just so good in its songwriting. You know, you can notice the melodies and identify them straight away. You know, you can, and like, there have been so many occasions where I have had hindsight on repeat, you know, like on like dog walks and stuff, and just been like, whoa, like, you know, just, you know, I can't get over like Ben's guitar tones. You know, I can't get over like, you know, some of the electronic elements that Ricky has also added, and then Vin as well. And then like, you know, and then you've also like, also with that song as well, I love how it builds to the breakdown. You know, I feel like, you know, it was very much like, you know, very theatrical in this, in the way that you like, you kind of built towards that moment, you know, in the song. And I feel like because like you didn't do it throughout the entire thing, you know, I feel like it actually added a real point of difference where it became like, you know, such a big moment for the song. But then like, you know, there's so many different amazing moments in the song as well. And like the chorus is super catchy, you know, in that regard. And as well as like, you know, the verses that are immediately identifiable, but then you've got that big breakdown, you know, towards the end, and you're just like, whoa, like this is, it ticks so many different boxes and it's super catchy, you know? So yeah. So much praise for like the way that, that has come out. And, you know, why wouldn't Triple J want to start playing that, you know? Why wouldn't, like, you know, Unearth see that and go, yep, okay, cool, like, you know, they've ticked every box here, you know? And it's because that you did the time to build up to those moments, you know? And patience is so key with that. And yeah, the fact that that Martyr did it like that, I think that's why you're also translating your success now.
Well, thank you both so much. I struggle with patience so badly. I work extremely fast. Like if it's just me, like in my business, I'm like, course idea, boom, like I'll have it out literally the next day. So, you know, we recorded Hindsight back in December of 2019, and same thing with Afterglow, the single that's coming out this week, that was recorded a year ago. But as hard as it was to hang on to that music and just not be able to release it, because we knew that we would be doing it a disservice without having a video for it, 2020 gave us the opportunity to plan. And so for anyone on this workshop, the three of us, actually, this is what we help bands with. We do consulting to put that plan together and, you know, in a way that's going to be tailored to your specific needs and band. So having that plan, and if you don't know exactly what that plan is, like speak to one of the three of us, because this is like literally what we do for a living, is put together these plans and like we froth on that shit. So to see the like Hindsight plan come together in the better than I could have anticipated, like, and I say that so gratefully. I was dreaming and spending so many like frustrated nights, like going for my 1 hour allocated walk, listening to the EP and being like, I just want people to hear it. Like, you know, is time running out? Am I ever going to release it? And going through all these like negative feelings, and then to have it actually be executed was just beyond gratifying. But I will say that this is where it comes to working with the right people and making the choice to go hard or go home when it comes to investing. Now, not in a crazy way, as we've already said, like you can DIY stuff, you can learn the skills, of course, but like our EP and those songs would be nothing if we didn't work with Chris Lalick, who took those songs and transformed them into what you hear. You know, we've had a couple of songs on the EP where it came in as like half a song or like almost finished song. And we've only used literally one section of the song and decided to like rebuild around it and completely restructure. With all of this stuff and working with Steve as well in the band coaching, I've been performing since I was little, like 8 years old, right? I've been on stage my entire life. And a lot of the stuff about working with the right producer, working with someone like Steve as a band performance coach, so that you're not just like a band that's getting hype online, you can actually deliver in the live setting, which is very, very important in the heavy scene. A lot of that involves checking your ego at the door. And there was so many points in the recording studio of recording our upcoming music where I was forced to like write songs very fast and test my songwriting abilities. And where Chris Lalick would turn around and be like, that melody's catchy, but it's like, it could be better. Like, it's not as catchy as what you think. Like, you can do better. And like, at first you're like, what do you mean it's not catchy? What do you mean? I've been working like really hard on this. And like, you're like, it pushes you to be better. And same when I was working with Steve, you know, Steve would be like, do it again, do it like more, like put your mic, like put the microphone to your mouth. And he'd be like on me the whole time. And sometimes I'd be like, fuck, like I'd be exhausted by the end of it, but I knew that I was getting better and better and better. So choosing to work with the right people and bring the right people onto your team. And even if you've been performing forever like I have, you always, always have more to learn. And I think that that is such an important takeaway of like checking your ego at the door and learning from people who have a different perspective or have been around longer than you. So like we wouldn't have achieved hardly any of those things, I think, if we hadn't have picked the right people to bring onto our team. So it all kind of like works together in that sense.
Yeah. And also like, you know, being able to allow yourself to detach from a certain idea that you had in mind and just allowing it to just go, you know, and sometimes that is a really, really tough one, you know, when like, you know, certain artists can be really attached to a riff, or like, you know, they really believe in it and they really think that that's the thing. You know, sometimes you're going to have to make sacrifices when you're in a group, you know, setting like that, you know, and there definitely has to be like that willingness, you know, to push through those sort of barriers as well and make those sacrifices and go, you know what, I really need to let that riff go. It's not serving any purpose. It's just creating tension for the group, you know, and having that awareness as well, you know, and sometimes it takes a little while for that to kick in for certain people, you know, everyone is different in that regard. But yeah, it's always a really, really interesting one, you know, leaving your ego at the door is definitely a big one. And just, you know, allowing yourself to just take in whatever comes at you and just allow that process, you know, to go completely free.
Kill your darlings. You know that saying that created, I don't know who said that, but
no.
Kill your darlings. Yeah. Like, what was that?
Find what you love and let it kill you.
Yeah, yeah.
That one too.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, absolutely. I remember when I was a kid, I was really fortunate to do a workshop with Felix Rebel from the Cat Empire. Back when I was like a songwriter back then. And I worship the Cat Empire. I think they're some of the best. I think they're one of the best Australian bands, you know, ever, just period. And like when he was talking about it, you know, he said like, yeah, there have been many times where like, you know, I have, you know, cracked it, you know, in the studio with the band and stuff, you know, but I've always had to come around and realize that like, you know, it isn't about me. It's about the bigger picture, you know, and a lot of time you do need to focus on the bigger picture sort of thing with that, you know, it's not always going to be about you. And if you do think it's about you, then you got to really, really, really reevaluate that and go, no, it's about everyone here, you know? And so, yeah, definitely agree.
If you've chosen to do music as a career, yes, it has to be you. Yes, it has to be authentic, but you also have to remember that you are creating a product. So, you know, if you're in a rock band, and as much as you fucking love playing guitar solos, if you want to play a guitar solo for a minute, that's not really keeping your audience in mind, because audiences these days will get bored if there's a guitar solo for a minute. You know, unless you're an established band and you know, you have people's attention already. Just remembering that if you want to do it as a business, not a hobby, you do have to keep your customer in mind.
Subscribe today to the Daily Music Business Podcast on your favorite podcast platform.
Hey, what's up? My name's Lurk, and I'm the host of Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast. Every week, I have in-depth conversations with bands from all over the scene, big and small. We also like to keep our finger on the pulse and showcase up-and-coming bands on the show as well. So come check out Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast.